But welcome as we come to worship this morning. Here, if you're visiting us today, we bid you a warm welcome. We hope you feel at ease and at home here. As we do often, we read a portion of Scripture as we begin. Today we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 42. It says this: "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I put my spirit on them, and I bring them justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out, nor raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope." Just a piece of scripture that encourages us to continue to hope and put our hope in Christ, the Sovereign One, the one who treats us gently. Not a bruised reed will he snuff out. Treats us gently and looks after us. So as we come into this moment from a diverse and very different set of circumstances for every single one of us this week, we carry what we've been through into this place in the hope and in the anticipation that in this moment, as we set aside time to be with God, that he would touch us afresh and anew. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are present with us, and in your presence is the fullness of your measure. Touch us afresh as we gather together. Amen. So we've come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive his holy word, and to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. We've just been singing of a God who takes our sin, cleanses us, forgives us, restores us, renews us. And so in this moment, we turn to him as we say together, Lord God. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins, restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The psalm is appointed for today is Psalm 90. As we've been doing since we regathered back in the building, we've been reciting our psalm of the day by alternate verse. We do the same today. Lord, you've always been our eternal home, our hiding place from generation to generation. Long before you gave birth to the earth and before the mountains were born, you've been from everlasting to everlasting, the one and only true God. When you speak the words, "Life, return to me," man turns back to dust. 1,000 years pass before your eyes, like yesterday, that quickly faded away, like a night's sleep soon forgotten. One day, I'm reading off the screen at the back, and that's went really small. I'm going to have to go to Specsavers. What verse are we on? Verse 5. One day we will each be swept away into the sleep of death. We'll guide along through the tides of time, so quickly come, like a dream that fades at dawn, like glistening grass that springs up one day and is dry and withered the next, ready to be cut down. Return to us again, O God. How much longer will it take until you show us your abundant compassion? Let the sunrise of your love end our dark night. Break through our clouded dawn again. Only you can satisfy our hearts, filling us with songs of joy to the end of our days. We've been overwhelmed with grief. Come now and overwhelm us with gladness. Replace your years of trouble with decades of delight. Let us see your miracles again. Let the rising generation see the glorious wonders that you're famous for. O Lord, our God, let your sweet beauty rest upon us and give us favor. Come work with us, and then our works will endure and give us success in all we do. That's an amazing psalm. In one sense, as we walk through that psalm, as we read some of those words, some of it seemed almost a little bit downheartening, as if we were focusing on the negativity. But yet, whenever we come towards the end of it, we see that the Lord is still present with us. He upholds us and lifts us up. Even in those very difficult moments, we can turn to Him and be our help. This is a point where we normally do a children's talk, lots of people who have gathered here since we've reopened have said to me that they're really missing the noise of the children in the building and wish that the children were all back again. So we looked forward to that one day soon, but we miss the noise of the children being here. And if you remember back to one of the talks that I did quite a few months ago, I declared what one of my favourite foods were. Can anybody remember what one of my favourite treats was? Well, it's not the time of year. Cadbury's cream egg. That's exactly right. Cadbury's cream egg. Hands up if you love a cream egg. Don't you? Hands up if you think they're too sickening. There's something wrong with you people. Has to be, like. Cream eggs are absolutely wonderful. But we're coming into a different season. And I have a favourite food coming into this season of Christmas that we're coming to. Hands up if you like a mince pie. Hands up if you think they're sickening. One person. Mince pies, lovely. Never too early for a mince pie, sure it's not. They're in the Co in the Belsize Road at the minute, by the way. They're a pound a box. Just might get a wee bit of advertising out of them, you never know. They're a pound a box. Mince pies are lovely, aren't they? We have those favourites, those favourite foods that we return to season after season. As we walk through the shop, we'll see them coming and it evokes a memory in us of something. Either a positive memory or a memory that you go, try Dan, I really don't like that. Not good at all. Today we're talking about growing in faith a little bit later in our service. And actually as we grow in faith, often what it is that God wants us to do is to remember His faithfulness. And in one sense, that's what we've read about in this psalm. We recall God's faithfulness even in our difficult times. So maybe this season as we begin to see lots of those familiar foods appear back into our shops, as that evokes a memory or a taste within us, maybe we could think of the memories of the faithfulness of God that we've seen in the past, that we've read about, and begin to walk with those in our hearts and in our lives. I'm going to hear God's word read for us now.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
Thank you to Ruth, who was reading us from God's word today. We continue in this series, You Are the Church. We're nearly through it. Next week will be our finishing week in that particular series, as we've reflected as we gathered back in the building, reflected on what it means to be church. Because as we were, in one sense, closed out of the buildings and we weren't able to gather together, church continued, not just online, but church continued in that we, the hands and feet, the body of Christ, were his presence out in the community around us, helping other people. We remember that in this series, we've heard that we are ordinary people who have been transformed by an extraordinary God. That you and I are just ordinary people, but we're transformed. Something happens in us whenever we worship. Something happens in us whenever we gather as a church. Something happens in us whenever we give our lives to Jesus that makes us extraordinary because we worship a God who is extraordinary. Now, the first disciples devoted themselves to fellowship, to the word of God, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. That we were to remember that God is all-powerful. He sends us to all nations. We're to be all obedient because he is always with us. And because his presence is powerful, then we are driven to be present with other people. We talked about the grace and the gift of giving, how in our generosity we can bless other people. Whenever Bishop Fanta was with us, he talked about a harvest of kindness, how we are kind towards other people. And last week, we looked at how we're made for relationship, how we're not supposed to do this life alone. And we're made for relationship, and that's a big part of what it means to be the church, that we are in relationship with each other, the gathered community. And because we're made for relationship, then we can truly dance whenever we step into that relationship. We can find our feet and truly dance. Today, it's about growing in faith. What does it mean to grow in faith? I wonder, and you don't need to give me a figure for this question, how many times have you heard a preacher tell you that you need to read more of your Bible and you need to pray more? I would imagine quite often. It's kind of a favourite line of us preachers. Read your Bible more and pray more, would you? And in one sense, you almost feel a little bit guilty if you hear that too much. You feel as if you're never doing enough, no matter how much it is that you do. Hopefully today will be an encouragement because today is about God's word. It's about growing in faith as we pray and as we get into a relationship with him. Because growing in faith is a vital part of the church. Whenever we stop growing, we stop being. We wilt and we die. We wilt and we die. I like gardening. I enjoy gardening. I enjoy planting things, tending to them, and seeing them grow. And I know there are many people in the congregation who also enjoy that. The one thing I have never been able to keep alive, and I have tried on several occasions, is a little shrub called an elegant willow. I keep buying it. Every time I see it in the garden centre, I buy it. I look after it, put it in different spots, different types of sun, different types of wind, different types of soil, put it in a pot, put it in the garden. It lasts for one season and it dies. And it doesn't come back. Whenever we stop being, we start to die. Whenever you stop putting down roots, whenever you stop taking the nutrients that you need as a Christian, as a believer, as a church, then we wilt and we die. If we stop growing, we stop being. Now, I'm not talking about growing in the sense of numerical numbers. It is wonderful over the last number of months to see in one sense, us grow physically as a parish and as a worshiping congregation. But it's also wonderful to watch and to see us grow spiritually, to grow in faith, to put down roots, to build more trust with God. I suppose today is about opening a conversation with us, preacher included, to see if we're still growing in faith. Now, we'll all start from a different place, a different stage in a journey with God. For some, that may be a very mature place. It may be something that you've journeyed with God over a number of years that whenever you open your Bible, it almost falls apart because you've spent so much time in it. For others, it will be very early in faith, and you're still beginning to tease and to step into the water, to see what it's like, to understand and grapple with some of the truths that you now hold as a Christian. Maybe for others, actually, it's a journey where you haven't come to the point of trusting Jesus yet. But we're all on a journey. We're all on a journey with God. So it starts in a different place, a different stage maybe for many of us. But no matter where we are, we still can grow. We can still flourish. Billy Graham was asked a question one day. Billy Graham, one of the greatest preachers or evangelists of our time, if you like, was asked a question in a room with about 600 other pastors one day. What changes would he make in his ministry? And Billy said two things. One, he would study more. And two, he would pray more. Now, for the greatest preacher and evangelist, you'd almost imagine that he would say he would expend more energy standing in front of more people using the gift that God had given him. But Billy knew that if he wasn't spending time alone with God, re-energizing himself in God's word and in prayer and in conversation with God, then his ability to do and to use his gift was seriously hampered. See, the foundations of growth, as individuals and corporately as a church, are God's word and prayer. They're foundations for us all. And in one sense, it can be easier sometimes to sit down and to read or to think or to pray whenever times are going okay. Whenever times are difficult, it's maybe harder to focus. It's maybe your prayers are a little bit more pacific or arrow-like. But I found over my journey with God that whenever things seem to be going okay in life, whenever my faith, my journey seems to be going okay, the rest of life seems to be kind of trundling along, if you like, there's almost a complacency sets in and you kind of set some stuff to the side. And as you set it to the side, the time that you spend with God can be set to the side. And it's in those moments that I begin to realize that I become spiritually dry. I become dry in a place that means I have nothing left to give. And that's not a good place for a preacher or for a pastor to be. And so there has to be a writing. There has to be a moment in my life, a reckoning in my life, where I have to right that wrong, if you see what I mean. See, it's in those moments that I've forgotten to look up, and instead I'm looking around. I wonder, is that somewhere you've ever found yourself? This passage today of the temptation of Jesus, in one sense, is fairly well known if you have been in a church circle or you've been to a Sunday school in the past. Jesus in the wilderness, the symbol of barrenness and of dryness. Everything around him seems bleak. But even in the dry moments, Jesus is studying and focusing. Listen to what it says in verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. He was spending time focusing on God. Now, he was hungry. He was starving. I'd be after 40 days and 40 nights, especially if there's no mince pies or cream eggs about. And so what does the devil do? Because actually, the devil is very clever in spin, the original spin. Won't always be outright lies, but there'll be an element of truth within it, a half-truth. Like in the Garden of Eden, did God really say that? To put a little element of doubt in your mind. And so he comes in that moment to Jesus and he offers him bread because he knows that Jesus is hungry. And in that moment, that is one of the greatest weaknesses for him. And so a tempter, as the devil, came to him and said in verse 3, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to come to bread. Look, Jesus, you've been here 40 days and 40 nights. You're so hungry. Tell the stones to come. You can do it. So just do it. Jesus' response, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but in every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the devil moves on and he says to him, take this holy city and stood in the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he says, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, is it not also written, do not put your Lord your God to the test? Food and safety are the two things that is coming against Jesus. And then verse 8 again, the devil took him, and if that didn't work, to a very high mountain, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the splendor. All this I'll give to you, he says, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Here, Jesus, have all this power. Three of the basic needs of humanity. Food to eat, refuge and safety, and power. There's a sense in there that the devil knows what he's doing whenever he comes to tempt. But actually, what we see is that Jesus does not make words up. Each of the responses that Jesus has given are direct quotes from the Old Testament. Jesus knows God's word, and he uses the word of God against the temptations that are coming against him, because he knows that in the word of God there is power, because it's not his words. Verse 11, and the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Each time what Jesus did, he used the word of God to confound the devil's schemes. And you can do the same, but you need to know it. I need to know it. There's another point in the story of Jesus where he tells one of his disciples, actually turns to him and says, get behind me, Satan, because he knows in that moment that there's a different agenda at work. That's a phrase I almost find myself saying whenever I come up against temptations in my life. Get behind me, Satan. In other words, clear off. And whenever he uses those, I'm not saying I have the master of temptation. That's totally untrue. But I find myself memorizing scripture and using those little verses in a moment that brings God's promise and God's word into the situation and not just my own thoughts. And often actually those verses of scripture were implanted in me by a CEF worker in the council estate that I grew up on and a green in front of the swings whenever he held up a fuzzy felt board. Remember fuzzy felt boards? They're all coming back in again, by the way. Everything has a full circle, doesn't it? But he taught me those little verses of scripture, and they've remained with me forever. As a practice, I've started over the last number of months again, actually, to begin to try to memorize different portions of scripture, different little verses, so that I have them in my heart, so that I can continue to try to grow. Because the overflow of my heart comes the attitude to life itself. But it's not just that. I will also have whenever I know God's word, I have a weapon to defend myself. See, later on in the scriptures, whenever it talks about putting on the armor of God, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the only offensive weapon in that armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You're not to use yourselves to attack. All those other things that can be defensive, but actually it's God's word that we can use as the offensive weapon against the devil's schemes. It's his word that we use to protect ourselves. And so actually, whenever I know God's word, whenever I spend time in it as a preacher, as a pastor, as your rector, I have the ability to defend not only myself, my family, but in a sense this parish, whenever I stand in the gap interceding for you. Maybe in those darker moments, those silent moments that you're even unaware of, whenever I am praying for you, and upholding you. As I hinted before, whenever we went into lockdown and we were unable to gather together, one of the things that I put into practice was beginning to pray through the parish list, if you like, on a routinely basis, covering each house, each family, each individual in prayer, and seeking God's hand of protection upon them into their particular situations. So how do we grow in faith? You grow in faith by starting. I might sound very simplistic, but you grow in faith by starting. You are ready, as I said before, and we're all at a different spot and place in the journey, but we all can continue to grow. And so from this day, we put in place a mechanism that allows us to take another step on the journey. How do you intend your spiritual life to look in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months? We set goals for all kinds of other stuff in our lives, don't we? And sometimes we look at those individuals who we think are almost super spiritual, who understand and know so much more about God, and I would quite like to be there, but I don't know how to get there. You start now, and you begin to take another step. And in taking another step, you're one step closer. You continue to grow, and as you continue to grow, the desire continues to grow within you. As the desire continues to grow within you, then you can get deeper into God's word and the conversations with him. And as you do that, then 3 months, 6 months, 12 months will look distinctly different from where you are with God now. Don't allow the devil's schemes to beat you up and fill you with guilt. You can do that. We can do this. And one of the mechanisms that we do that as a parish is that we gather, not just on a Sunday, but during the week. And we're going to reinvigorate that in a couple of weeks' time, starting the week beginning the 9th of November, by starting some life groups. The intention, we have to wait to see government guidelines, is that we have one in-person or a couple of in-person ones. And we will also do some online as well. And there'll be mechanisms to do that. So you don't have to come out of your house to be a part of it. You can sign up for that online. It gives us an idea of who's coming and what way we can do it. There's also a sign-up sheet in the door on the way out. It's just another step to enable us to grow. See, Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 12 says this. For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul, joints, and spirits, and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. It's not just a dusty old book. These are life-giving words for life itself. Let's get to know it better as we all grow in faith together. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you give us the opportunity to grow, that we're not just simply to stay static. Help us in that growth to understand you more, to love you more deeply. Give us patience and opportunities to learn more of you, to study more of you. So in all that we do, it may bring you glory and honour. In your name we pray. Amen. Father, you have heard our voices in song, singing the promise that you are there. And so in this moment, that we come before you with those things that lay heavy and burden our hearts. Some things maybe that we have carried for a very long time on our own and have not truly laid before you or ask for help with. We continue to pray and uphold those who amongst us who we know and love who are unwell at the moment, whether that's at home or in hospital. A fresh touch from you we seek today, Lord. As we think about our community and the streets that we live in, we pray for our neighbours, those on our left or on our right. Pray for our schools and our places of education, grounding principals, teaching staff and auxiliary staff, wisdom and decisions and deliberations that need to be made in this moment. We pray for businesses. Businesses who have been asked to close their doors, for the staff, for the proprietors, for other businesses who remain open, but yet who are seeing footfall fall dramatically. Grant them wisdom, and discernment, and decisions that will be made over the next number of days and weeks. And we want to see the city in which we live healthy and buzzing again. We pray for our National Health Service, for our local doctors and nurses, or for all those who are involved in any level of health care. Our pharmacists, our community workers, whoever it may be. With the uncertainty in the air for them, I would pray for your hand of peace upon them. And Lord, as we hide your word in our hearts, may it not only be a challenge for us, but may also be a comfort. As we've hidden it in our hearts, Lord, guide and direct us, if you wish us, that they might be little words that we can say to other people that will bring them encouragement to. We seek your hand and your spirit in this place and for this place as we continue to grow in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have a couple of announcements as we begin to draw to a close. Our small step service continues on a Tuesday morning. It's a short service of said morning prayer. It lasts about 20 minutes. You're welcome to attend or also invite others who maybe feel that coming out on a Sunday morning just isn't quite for them just yet, that maybe they could make it to a smaller service on a Tuesday morning. Continues each Tuesday at 10 a.m. As you've heard me earlier talk about our life groups, please do ask more questions about that or sign up to them. You find out more information on our website and on our social media pages as well. And as always, the basket for your tithe and for your offering is at the door on the way out. If you're watching online, you'll find out at the resources page of our website how you're able to give to the mission and ministry of God's kingdom in this place. We're going to finish today by reciting an affirmation of faith. And we use this at our harvest service. And it says something in our hearts as we go out of here today. We go out carrying the presence of God with us. We affirm what it is that we believe and who we have faith in, that we might grow in that faith no matter where we are. Let's stand together. So we say together, we believe. We believe in God the Father, God Almighty, by whose plan earth and heaven sprang to being, all created things began. We believe in Christ the Saviour, Son of God in human frame, virgin born, the child of Mary, upon whom the Spirit came. Christ, who on the cross forsaken, like a lamb to slaughter led, suffered under Pontius Pilate, he descended to the dead. We believe in Jesus risen, heaven's King to rule and reign, to the Father's side ascended, till as judge he comes again. We believe in God the Spirit, in one church below above, saints of God in one communion, one in holiness and love. So by faith our sins forgiven, Christ our Saviour, Lord and friend, we shall rise with him in glory to the life that knows no end. We hear some words from Romans chapter 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you.